Good evening, folks. This is The Weird Part, and I am your host, Vincent Trewell. This evening's episode, episode 20, is largely a follow-up to episode 19, Maybe Faye, and probably makes more sense if you go back and listen to that one first. However, proceed as you will. Last episode, I talked a good deal about strange people that I hadn't encountered, and possibly some of them not being regular, normal human beings, but being other type of entities. And synchronistically, if you wish to think of it that way, or coincidentally, or let's cut to the chase, here's what happened. Less than 48 hours after I dropped that episode, the person that I had described as the winter violinist, or the violin man, I saw him again. And this time I said, there's no way he's getting away without me taking his picture and finding out what the deal is with this guy. I had mentioned that I had seen him once in a very cold day, wearing a suit and tie, but nothing appropriate for the elements, playing a violin on a park bench in front of a grocery store where almost no one ever sits and where I've never seen another musician. After laying out all the strange details with that experience and how he seemed to disappear and how he seemed otherworldly, less than 48 hours later, I saw him again. And he was dressed less formally. The weather was much more temperate, but it was definitely the same guy. And this time, I got a picture and spoke with him very briefly. He was performing, and I donated $5 and asked if it was okay to take his picture. And I have photographic evidence, and he's just a regular, normal human being who happens to be a very talented musician. But yes, that mystery has been solved. And I felt it important to put out here that just as important as it is to catalog and to tell the stories that we have of experiencing the weird, the paranormal, the other, when a mundane day-to-day explanation occurs, it's equally important to tell that side of the story. And that's what I want to do here. I can't tell you my excitement upon seeing the violin man again. And I, of course, I didn't have any cash on me then either. So I rushed into the grocery store, bought a bottle of water just to get $5 cash back, walked over, put the $5 in his violin case, asked if it was okay to take his picture. He was fine with that. He was definitely the same person. He was playing the violin. He did have electronic accompaniment. And he is a musical performer and very talented. And so, apparently, obviously, that's the end of that story. He was not of the Fae folk. He was not, you know, some sort of Man in Black-esque strange person appearing only to me. No, he was just a regular person. And that's okay. And I just wanted to follow up and, you know, tell people, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. That is the rest of the story. That did happen. It happened really quick after I'd posted the kind of mysterious story that I had believed right up until that time. So, I guess let that be a lesson to us all, that sometimes when you're thinking about this stuff a lot, still keep an open mind. Keep an open mind both ways. This could be something strange, or this could be something really normal that just looks strange, but there is an explanation in the day-to-day world. And I'm totally okay with that. Just to tell a similar story, I have never seen a UFO. I've never had what I would call any kind of UFO experience. But many years ago, when I was in the military, for a little bit there, I thought I did. Okay, I had a non-UFO encounter. I had some pareidolia, and this is over 30 years ago, but I was a young man, I was in the Marines, and when you're in the military and you're out in the field, you have guard duty. You have, like, everybody can't go to sleep at once and just leave the place undefended. So two of you will be assigned a two-hour block. In the Marine Corps, they call it fire watch. And you just get up in the middle of the night. Your relief, the previous two people will wake you. You get up, you walk around for 2 hours, then you wake the next two guys. And it goes on until everybody gets up in the morning. So anyway, me and my partner are walking around in the absolute middle of the night. And it's totally dark. We're at Camp Pendleton, California, in the field. And there's nothing going on. There's just, everybody's gone to bed. It's around 2 a.m. Nothing happening. We're walking around quite bored and just hanging out until we can go back to sleep. And suddenly we see, and the both of us see it, there's these four glowing objects in the sky. What seem to be four circular lights. And they're swirling around in a circle. And then they merge into one. And then that one splits back into four. And they swirl around in a circle and merge back into one. And they repeat this over and over. And we are freaking out. I'm a young guy at this time, just out of high school, where I've read all the UFO books in the school library. And all I can think of is, oh my God, these are flying saucers. These are totally UFOs. And it's like, well, we can't do nothing. Should we go wake the platoon sergeant? Neither one of us particularly cared to be the bearer of that message. But hey, sergeant, you got to wake up. There's UFOs in the sky. So he said, well, let's just see if we can look at it from a different angle. And we did this a couple times. And then when we got to a certain spot, we could see, we could look down into kind of a valley and see that there was a small airfield. And it was a cloudy night, and the airfield was projecting powerful lights into the sky. And those lights were reflecting off the clouds. And we watched, and you could very clearly see that what from one angle looked for all the world like four glowing discs was in fact really just a reflection of some airfield lights on the clouds. So that's my non-UFO experience. I think it's important to tell those stories too. Getting into this community and getting into these often weird stories and weird subjects that we talk about, it's important to sometimes mention the ones that weren't weird, that maybe looked weird for a few minutes there, but were actually something from the mundane, everyday world. And just as we shouldn't shame anybody for experiencing high strangeness, experiencing really weird events, we shouldn't likewise counter shame somebody for there being a normal explanation for what they saw. And that's what I wanted to do here. Just mention that found the violin man and he's just a regular guy. Saw the four glowing discs and they were just airport lights. That's a thing that happens. And I felt it worth sharing. Either we're related or unrelated story, that mystery being solved, there is another mystery that I've been pursuing for a while and that I would like to ask listeners help with, and that I would like to just kind of go on and on about for a little minute, but hopefully you'll find it a bit interesting. And that goes back to March 27th of 1988. And that occurred when I was in high school. I did not personally witness this, and that was a great disappointment to me. Both my uncle and my art teacher, who I was pretty close to, he was kind of a mentor for me, did witness it. And what they both described was a fireball. And it was reported in the local papers. We'll get to that. That it was reported in the local papers as a fireball that went across the state and into Lake Winnebago. Lake Winnebago is, if you look at a map of the state of Wisconsin, it's that big lake that's kind of in the mid-southern eastern area. The only lake that's not one of the Great Lakes that's big enough to show up on national maps of Wisconsin. So it's a large but fairly shallow body of water. A number of communities are on Lake Winnebago, and that's the area where I grew up. Apparently, at about 7 p.m. on Sunday, March 27th, 1988, a fireball came flying across the state, but for a fairly limited distance. It was only seen roughly as far south as Chicago and as far east as Michigan. And it was seen all across Wisconsin. And then it went into Lake Winnebago. Now, this became a bit of an obsession for me because when I learned about it that evening on the 10 o'clock news, it was reported that there would be government divers coming to look and see what it was. And then the story disappeared. And for the longest time, as an adult, years later with the internet, I could not find anything on this. It took me years, and I'd search Google, search all sorts of things, and was not able to find any mention of it. Which kind of freaked me out, because it had so completely disappeared, and this was something that people I knew had seen. Eventually, I was able to find a very brief article in the Associated Press, printed in the Fond du Lac Commonwealth Reporter on Monday, March 28th, 1988. And I can almost read the whole thing right here because it's very brief, very basic. It's an AP story. And it just, so it doesn't even have like a credited reporter. But it does say A ball of flame reported sighted in the sky over southern Wisconsin could have been a meteor shower or the remains of a Soviet satellite, a National Weather Service meteorologist says. Ted Simak of the service's Madison office said he received calls Sunday night about the fireballs from the U.S. Coast Guard, officials in Ozaukee County and Milwaukee's Timmerman Field Airport, and from the public. There were sightings in the Fond du Lac area shortly before 7 p.m. Sunday, but no official reports were filed with local authorities. It was a very bright streak in the sky, Mary Kohler Cabot of Milwaukee said of her sighting. It was a flame, sort of like a falling star, but much brighter. But it burst, then it burst again into flames. High over the horizon, it went out. Another light display in the sky was reported Friday night in Texas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas, when Soviet space debris re-entered the atmosphere. But Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Pennell of the North American Aerospace Defense Command said the satellite remains did not cause the fireball sighted in Wisconsin. All the objects we track in space are still there, he said. But he said this is the time of year when meteor activity increases over Wisconsin. That's it. That's the very brief, basic story that I was able to find a couple of years ago. Since then, I have to give a lot of thanks to newspapers.com. And as more newspapers get digitized and become available online, it turns out this was actually a fairly well-covered story. But I was really glad just to find that AP story from the Fond du Lac Commonwealth Reporter, because it really helped me feel that, no, I'm not crazy. That really happened. Okay, there really was a fireball. There really was a UFO of some sort that did go into Lake Winnebago. And I remember that memory is real. And so for a couple of years, I've just had that very basic story. Then, within the last couple of months, I've been able to get much more documentation, because this event was covered in about 24 Wisconsin papers, to greater and lesser degree. And there are some discrepancies. Interestingly enough, several newspapers that were closer to the Milwaukee area, for example, the Journal Times of Racine, Wisconsin, reported essentially the same story, but had the object crash into Lake Superior rather than Lake Winnebago. Those are two very different bodies of water, and it's really hard to see how that would be a mistake, but it is interesting. The Journal Times from Racine article, also dated Monday, March 28th, 1988, describes it thus. People are still in the dark late Sunday about a bright light seen in the sky shortly after 7 p.m. The flash was spotted by sky watchers from Muskegon, Michigan, Chicago, Illinois, authorities said. It is reported here as a burning object that fell into Lake Michigan. So, yes, I correct. Earlier I said Lake Superior. The southeastern Wisconsin, Milwaukee area, Racine's nearby Milwaukee, papers describe it as going to Lake Michigan, which is not Lake Winnebago. Theories about what caused the flash range from a meteor shower to a breakup of a Soviet satellite. It was reported to Racine County Sheriff's deputies. The two main theories both have a lot of problems with them. Ted Stimack, forecaster with the National Weather Service in Madison, and a self-described amateur astronomer, here I am quoting directly from the Journal Times, said the chances were slim that the bright lights were caused by a meteor shower. If it is a meteor shower, it would be an unusual one, because it was seen only in isolated parts of the United States, Dimmick said. Meteor showers, when they do occur, are seen all over the darkened part of the world, he said. The chances are much greater, according to Stimmick, that the fireball was caused by drifting parts of a Soviet rocket that gave Texans a brilliant display over the weekend. A circumpolar orbit could bring the man-made matter from Texas to the Great Lakes atmosphere, he said. That theory, however, was shot down by Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Pinnell, spokesman for the U.S. Space Command and North American Air Defense Command in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And these two characters, Stimmick and Pinnell, show up in all, basically all of the articles that go into any detail. And Colonel Pinnell is quite sure that it is not Soviet space debris. And Stimmick, who's an amateur astronomer and a professional meteorologist, is quite sure that it's not a meteor shower. So, what is it? We don't know. I have found this absolutely fascinating for over 30 years. My favorite article that I found quite recently comes from the Oshkosh Northwestern and is written by Laura Kuhn. The previous article that I just quoted from the Journal Times is written by Laura J. Marisalo. So, and Keel might find this interesting, John Keel. There's two Lauras. The attributed articles that I can find, the best two of them are both written by women named Laura. Does it mean anything? I don't know. Laura's a reasonably common name, but it's just the kind of little oddity that pops up. But yes, so Laura Kuhn's article here says that, and I'm just going to quote from it fairly briefly, no one is quite sure what went into Lake Winnebago Sunday night, or even if something did crash into the lake. National Weather Services in Milwaukee and Green Bay said they had no information on a possible meteorite plunging into the lake or any UFO sightings. Nothing was reported to us, and no one observed anything here. We have no idea if it's a meteorite or not, Glenn Field, a meteorologist for the National Weather Service in Milwaukee, said. The Winnebago County Sheriff's Department received about 20 calls this morning on the sighting. People have reported about a bright light coming down out of the sky. There haven't been any reports of damage or aliens, dispatcher Dennis Callan said. But my favorite quote comes from Judy Walcott of the Fox Valley UFO Discussions and Support Group, who said people called her to report lights over Lake Winnebago. The object's color varied with the sightings. Reports included a bright light and colors ranging from green to orange, Walcott said. Ms. Walcott is convinced the sighting was space debris and not a UFO. And here's, as we say, the weird part. It's a direct quote from Ms. Judy Walcott. I am a contactee with aliens, and none of them said this was going to happen, and they knew nothing about it. There's nothing to be afraid of. They've been watching us since there was life on Earth, so there's no sense starting to worry now. I just love the, I am a contactee with aliens, and none of them said this was going to happen, and they knew nothing about it. They would have told me, in other words, they would have told me if there was going to be a UFO. That's a great quote, and I love that. I really wanted to interview Ms. Walcott. She's unfortunately been deceased for a few years now. But the whole continuum of how this was covered absolutely fascinates me. Because you have, and the story goes on to Of course, quote Colonel Ivan Pinnell again, and to quote Ted Stimmick of the National Weather Service Madison office again. And basically, there's people in all directions saying it's not this, it's not that, it's none of the things you're thinking of. So what was it? Dozens of people, at a minimum. I mean, those are the ones who reported it. Because Winnebago County Sheriff's Department got about 20 calls. And there are about a dozen in Racine. And one would suspect dozens more. There were some in Chicago and some in Michigan. And those are the people who picked up the phone to call someone and tell them about this. Someone official. Not to mention those who reported it to UFO groups. So, what happened? We have the space debris theory. We have the meteor theory. And we have a UFO contactee saying, no, it was not aliens because they would have told me. So, there we are, folks. Something went into Lake Winnebago, unless, of course, it went into Lake Michigan. Unless, of course, there was more than one. But something happened on March 27, 1988, that, until very recently, had disappeared from the record. And I'd like to hear from anybody who remembers this event, witnessed this event, or has memories or experiences of a similar event, because this was kind of formative for me. And I didn't see it, but people I knew and trusted saw it. And it was in the newspaper, and I remember seeing it in the newspaper as a high school kid, and just didn't hold on to that paper. And I remember seeing it reported on the news. But then it disappeared from availability for so long that I did really start to wonder, did that happen at all? Or has that been wiped clean by somebody for some reason? But then, no. As the promise of internet research has kind of started to bloom a little bit more, it's been possible to find that this was covered by dozens of press outlets. And that just makes it more interesting to me. So, something went into Lake Winnebago. And possibly Lake Michigan. But we know something happened in southeastern Wisconsin the night of March 27th, 1988. And that's the mystery that's continued. Meanwhile, I have not seen the 4th of July guy or the May Day man again, referencing the last episode. The violin man situation has been explained and resolved. But there's still plenty of weird things out there, and we'll continue to talk about them here on The Weird Part. As usual, this is The Weird Part. I'm your host, Vincent Trewell. Thanks for listening, and good night.